on the under $3 menu at McDonald's, a McChicken is $1.50. Because when you're craving a McChicken, you deserve a McChicken. And now that McChicken is just $1.50 with McValue.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Now with McDonald's, wake up to a $4 breakfast meal deal. Wake up to a sausage McMuffin or sausage biscuit to hash browns and wake up to a hot coffee. Get your $4 breakfast meal deal.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell, coast to coast.
And we are back. Hour number two, Pharrell Coast to Coast on a Wednesday. Carver High and Joe Lisi in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have you with us. Later this hour, Davis Maddock with the lion's share. And as always on Wednesdays, the golf picks with Cam Stewart as the tour moves back over here to the mainland. The 3M Open up in Minnesota. We'll try to shake off a tough weekend at the Open Championship. That's sure got kicked around a little bit, Joe, as you like to say. Got kicked around a little bit last weekend at Royal Liverpool, but it was a pretty good month before that. So it's hard to complain, Joe, considering the heater we were on with the golf. We had to eventually fall off a little bit, but we'll get back on the horse this week up in Minnesota. Okay, Joe, you wanted football. I've got football for you. Let's start with Herbert. 5 years, $262 million extension with the Chargers. Deal includes $185 million guaranteed. He also, they slid in there a no-trade clause for him, Joe, as well, which has been kind of hit or miss lately with the big quarterbacks in terms of whether or not they have him. Herbert does. This now makes him at $52.5 million per year, the highest in the NFL on the per year average, just going past Lamar Jackson, who got his $260 million deal earlier this year, and Jalen Hurts. Rodgers is fourth. And I saw the weird restructuring with the Rodgers deal. Like, he gets like $1 million this year, Joe, and he gets $100 million next year from the Jets. I don't know. That's a capologist type of deal there. I don't understand how any of that works. That's for sure. And Russell Wilson now five. Kyler Murray, six. You notice what name I haven't said yet, Joe? Deshaun Watson, seven. Oh, there he is. Patrick Mahomes, he's eighth at $45 million per year.
Yeah, well, we talked about this last night, right? Pat Mahomes, at some point, the money's going to catch up, and you're going to have to say, all right, does Pat Mahomes take a Tom Brady type of situation where he takes a cut for the benefit of the team, or does he want his money and rightfully so for winning two Super Bowls and being the best quarterback in the land and having Kyler Murray and some of these other quarterbacks like Justin Herbert that haven't even won a championship ahead of him from a price tag is absolutely ridiculous right now. We don't know what Burrow's going to get. And I tell you what, if these guys are worth that money, what are you and I worth in terms of Carver and Lisi? At least $400 million guaranteed, right?
But let me ask it to you this way, Joe. Like, let's be honest here. I think Justin Herbert's a very good quarterback. I think most of these guys are very good quarterbacks. Why does the next guy who gets paid always have to be the top guy on the like? Why does he have to move to the top of the list? Like, are these teams to finally start standing up and being like, listen, we love you. We think you're great. But that guy over there has won two Super Bowls. And that guy over there is a 20-year vet who's going to the Hall of Fame, who's won a Super Bowl in Green Bay, is now in New York. Like,
no.
Why does the next guy always have to be the top guy, Joe? That's Robert. The part to me that doesn't make a lot of sense. And look, when Mahomes signed for $45 million, I guess we figured, you know, eventually guys are going to pass him. That's kind of the way of the world. But I'm just kind of surprised at how everybody keeps jumping over the next guy. And before you answer, Joe, we welcome in our radio affiliates, Pharrell Coast to Coast, on a Wednesday, SiriusXM Channel 159 Sports Byline. Good to have you with us. So go ahead, Joe. Why does every new guy have to be the top guy?
Well, they're drunk on drinking the Kool-Aid. It's perception. We talk about it all the time, Carver. They're wearing the headband, the velour sweatsuit, and drinking Kool-Aid, thinking that they're great. And maybe from a compiling standpoint and statistical standpoint, they are. But we talk about championships. We talk about the it factor. We talk about the ability to make those players around them better and be the face of the franchise, and more importantly, the leader of that team on the playing field and in the locker room, right? And some players have it, like obviously Tom Brady and Pat Mahomes. Jalen Hurts is another clear example of that. And obviously Joe Burrow. And there are a number of different good quarterbacks, right, that haven't won anything. So you need me as a GM. I tell you what, because I would go in there and be like, and tell the agent, your quarterback is good. He's not elite. There's a difference between being great and being elite. And some of these guys are great, you know, on the field, but when it comes to crunch time, they haven't stepped up. And I blame the Kirk Cousins effect. When he left Washington and got that deal with Minnesota, he was a marginal quarterback. They gave him above average money for not winning anything, and that's what started where we are right now.
It just feels like, and I don't even, elite, not elite. I think Justin Herbert, you want to talk about elite, I think he's
elite,
you can
but
put
he hasn't
him in
won.
That conversation.
He hasn't won. He lost a playoff
all
game
these
with
guys,
a 30-point lead.
All these guys, pretty much besides Mahomes, haven't won, Joe. I mean, all these guys haven't
won.
But
you know what?
Hurts
hasn't
won.
The GM needs to do this. Here's what the GM needs to do, and I'll tell you. You want to fix it? When the agent comes into the office, instead of having every touchdown pass, have every incompletion and every pick on a game tape and show them and say, that's why we're paying them $25 million less.
It's amazing to me that everybody, and now Joe, your boy Silk's going to be next, and now he'll go after to pass 262.
Well,
has he won a Super Bowl, Joe?
He got there.
He got there. He didn't win.
Yeah.
Coast to Coast, the golf picks next with Cam. We'll pick this up later, Joe. Back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Wednesday. Carver High in for Scotty right here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you with us every Wednesday here on C2C. We get you ready for this week's PGA Tour event with the Prime Minister, Cam Stewart. Every night, game time decisions right here on Sports Grid. Cam, let's just tell it like it is. I was telling Joe earlier. I mean, I got my teeth kicked in at Royal Liverpool this past weekend. I mean, it just did not go well anywhere. I mean, I had some things like right at the wire on Sunday in the final round, and Fleetwood triple bogey in 17, and Cam Young just not being able to stay around really hurt me. Me and you bet this guy Bhatia at every jabroni tournament in the world, and he goes and wins the Barracuda, and we didn't do anything with it. So It was a tough week. Hard to complain how hot we were for the month before that. So, you know, we'll take it. But we get back on the horse this week, Cam, in Minnesota at the 3M. Defending champion Tony Finau, of course, is in attendance. And some other guys, Joe, Cam, who, let's be fair here, are here because they've either been playing miserably, or, like Justin Thomas, they're here because they need points to make the FedEx Cup playoffs in a couple weeks, and they're running out of tournaments. That's why we see some of these names, like JT, like Matsuyama. He's looking to sharpen up his game. Sungjae Im, well, I guess Sungjae Im never takes a tournament off, right, Cam? He's never off.
Yeah, lives out of a freaking Holiday Inn and a briefcase. Probably more like a Hilton in a briefcase, but you're right, Carver. Know what we are, buddy? Me and you, you know, your hair looking like a nice tight fairway. I'm like the second cut right now. We know who we are. We're grinders, like Joe Lisi says. The Barbasol, the Barracuda, that's where we belong. Last week we got smoked in the major, the 3M. This is right in our wheelhouse. We like the jabroni events, the lower tier events. We seem to do better with them. And I don't care how we make money, Carver, but this week in Minnesota should be fun. got to have a little bit of length off the tee. Tony Finau fits all the boxes, winning last year, and I think he could actually be in contention this year. Should be a fun tournament, though. Wouldn't be surprised if we had another big underdog win as well. It's going to be a good week.
Yeah, before Finau last year, Cam, a lot of big dogs, like 100 to 1 plus dogs won. Cameron Champ a couple years ago was a very big price. Several winners here. Here's what I'm going with. I'm going with some guys that I just feel like have been playing pretty well coming into this week. Cameron Young is one of them, despite the Sunday letting me down over there at Royal Liverpool. He seems like he played the John Deere as well. It seems like, Cam, he's playing these because he wants to finally crack that egg and get himself that first win on the PGA Tour. So 14 to 1 for him. Sepp Straka has been excellent the past few weeks. I got him at 25 to 1. Emiliano Grillo, the little Argentinian with a big heart, will take him at 25 to 1 as well. He's been playing very well. JT Poston, the postman, Cam, has been hanging around, making cuts, making top 30s, making top 20s. I'm going to go with him here at 55 to 1. Justin Suh has been a guy I've been chasing at some of these type of events at 80 to 1. And the big bomb for me this week is Grayson Murray at 250 to 1. I just felt, Cam, that price was a little too much considering how he's played. Has he played great every week? No, but he's played better. 250 to 1, too big of a price for me. I'm going to jump on it.
The guy almost won the other tournament, Carver. You saw he had a triple bogey. Yeah. He was leading. He came out, he was like 8 under through the first 9 holes, right? A couple weeks ago. Grayson Murray's actually got a game. He should be about 100 to 1. You're right about the price. Ludvig Åberg, he can win this week. And you know what? I can't get off this train, because if this guy wins and I don't have him, Carver, I'm going to absolutely lose my mind. Like, I don't know what I'll do. I'll probably be in a nut house. Aaron Rybrand, 45 to 1. Love him this week. I think this guy actually, he's either going to win this thing or be in contention or miss the cut. He's one of those type of players. What's in the cupboard, Mark Hubbard? Hopefully a win at 55 to 1. I'll tell you, I got ripped on Twitter with the get of the foxhole last week, Carver. I don't care what those trolls told me. I'm coming back to Ryan Fox. After his 7-over first round, Taylor Pendrith got to have some Canadians, as I am the Prime Minister. Ryan Gerrard, 175 to 1, actually playing really well. That's a nuts price. And Coneheads, that's your favorite. That was the best team in Texas. Trevor Cone. Let's go, Coneheads. 300 to 1. The guy's actually been playing well, kind of like Grayson Murray. The price is out of whack.
Coneheads, your boy Trevor Cone getting involved. I like it, Cam. I like it a lot. Let's go to the top 10s, 20s, and 40s. I'm with you on Finau. Don't think he wins, but I think he plays better than he's been playing and hangs around. Plus 210 for the T10. I'm going to go here with you on Åberg. Top 10 at plus 360. Nice. I think he'll be in it again, Cam, but he just hasn't shown that he's ready to close yet. So I'm not going to go and get involved. The next one's Justin Thomas, top 20 at plus 170. God, Cam, if he can't hang around this week, when is he ever going to hang around? So I'm just going to go to the 20 and see if we can get it. Sahith Tagala, top 20 at plus 210. Cameron Champ has won this tournament, a top 40 from him for plus 160. And CT Pots and Pans at plus 240 for a top 40, Cam. He can make the cut and hang around on Saturday and Sunday as well.
Great prices, Carver. I like those. And I'll tell you about Åberg. If he wins, I think he's going to be one of those guys who posts a number and wins the tournament. Like, just has a great round, because if he has the lead, we've seen he can get close. He hasn't closed the door. M, top 10, plus 200. I'm with you with Finau, defending champion, plus 210. Rye, plus 200. Hubbard, plus 210. All my guys. Pendrith for a top 40, plus 110. Ryan Gerrard, plus 290. And Coneheads, you're almost giving me 4-1 for a top 40. I'm in. Go Trevor Cone.
Trevor Cone, I will get with you on the 40 for Cone at plus 370, Cam. Nice. I'm going to go in for Coneheads so we can have ourselves some fun this week at the 3M. All right, we have the first round leader bombs.
Yeah.
These are always favorites. We have just been, who of course, we didn't have Harmon in anything, Cam, last week except the first round leader bomb, and he couldn't even do that for us. The guy leads after 2, 3, and 4, couldn't lead after the first round. So this week, let's go to Jaeger bombs. 50 to 1 for Steven Jaeger. Keith Mitchell at 55 to 1. He had to slum it at the Barracuda last week. Cameron Champ, 65 to 1. Hoagie Sandwich back in the mix at 75 to 1, the type of track he does well at. The commissioner, Will Gordon, at 90 to 1. I'll put the Canadian on there for you as well, Cam. Mackenzie Hughes, Mac Hughes, at 90 to 1 for first round leader. And EVR course, who played golf up at Minnesota, 110 to 1 for the first round leader for EVR. Maybe he can pop off for me on a Thursday, Cam. That's where I'm going for the first round leader bombs.
You hear that story? First of all, I like that Mackenzie Hughes play. I'm going to ride your Justin Suh pick outright, Carver. We got, because if he wins, I'll go nuts as well. But that's a great, interesting story. EVR's caddy is actually qualifying for the, he qualified for this tournament and he's playing with them there.
Really?
So like basically his, he has a new guy on the bag. His caddy actually like played like a Monday qualifier and got in and they're playing together. You said it, people don't know EVR is a Minnesota Golden Gopher. He'll have lots of fans cheering him on in those tight pants. Hopefully we can hit one of those, Carver, and get things, start to make some money.
And one more guy I was going to bring up to you, and let's see if you like him. What about old Nat King Cole at this place? I've heard a lot of comparisons to Florida courses because there's a lot of water at this course, guys. You talk about losing a lot of balls. There is lakes and water all over this course, similar to tracks like where they play the Honda, where they play a lot of these Florida. And Cole played really well in Florida, Cam. He could be a guy maybe to slide onto the card as well.
You know what? I agree with you, and we can't bet everybody. Eric Cole's been in fantastic form, too, but he just got a little bit beat down over in Europe. But I'll tell you one thing, Carver. If he drove the ball longer, he would have been one of my top picks this week. I'm not sure it's a little bit longer for Cole, but the thing about him is he's got a great game. And a tee to green, if he's putting well, he can win. I love that pick, too. I'm going to have to add it. Problem is we always like so many guys. We got to narrow it down.
I know.
But I might add Cole as well.
Well, it's hard to narrow them down, and we obviously do these ones for the board in the morning. Like I was telling you before we came on, like an hour ago, I saw Justin Thomas at 35-1, and I just stared at the screen, and I'm going, all right,
unreal.
You got me. All right, fine. I'll put a little Happy Meal bet on Justin Thomas to maybe find his game up in Minnesota this week. Cam, let's get back on the horse, baby. I'll see you next week for the Wyndham. One more tournament before the playoff the following week. Let's go, baby. We're back on Coast to Coast after that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Know your prey. This is a whole new jungle. This is the Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Wednesday. Carver High in for Scotty right here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you with us. BetMGM has you set up their Swing for the Fences promotion. That's right. What do you got to do? Three easy steps. Log in to the BetMGM Sportsbook app on iOS or Android. Play the BetMGM free-to-play game between now and September the 7th. Be a batter and pick an area of the strike zone. Depending on the area of the strike zone you pick, you'll get a single, double, triple, home run, or a pop-out and receive the prize associated with that type of hit. You can play once a day. Prizing must be used on MLB and expires in 24 hours. The BetMGM Swing for the Fences game. Speaking of BetMGM, it is time for the Lion's Share, brought to you by BetMGM. And as we do every day here on Coast to Coast, we bring in our guy Davis Maddock, Fantasy Sports Today, Saturday mornings, 8 a.m. East, and every day on C2C. Davis, hi, buddy. How are you?
You know, we're living the dream. Brutal come down from, just the most unwatchable Open Championship, like Brian Harman with a four-stroke lead. It's such a bummer. I look forward to the Open Championship every single year, and just having no drama. I mean, I guess Rom tried. Rom tried to give us a little bit with that crazy round on Friday afternoon, but it just wasn't meant to be. It really did not have the same juice. It was a pretty brutal watch, especially on Sunday.
No, it was a brutal watch, and as me and Cam were just talking about, I got my teeth kicked in with the Open Championship this past weekend. It was not good. Harman could not come back to the pack at all on Saturday or Sunday, and that made it, as you said, a very, very tough scene. All right, let's get to the baseball now. A couple of things before we get to your picks for tonight. Let me start with the Reds and the Brewers, because that's now final this afternoon. The Brewers beat them again. So the Brewers take 2 out of 3. The Reds actually won a game from them last night. So they played, what was it, 3 series over the span of like 2.5 weeks on both sides of the All-Star break. And the Reds won Two out of the nine games. I think I did my math right there, Davis. I think they won two, and they went 2-7 in this nine-game stretch against the Brewers. That's tough. And I know that there's other angles to get in. There's wild card. You know, there's three of them now this year, whatever. Losing that many times to the Milwaukee Brewers is a very tough blow to the Reds, as great as they've played.
I mean, it is a tough blow, because had it gone the other way due to that crazy run they went on right when Ellie De La Cruz got called up, I mean, they kind of could have iced this thing. Maybe not iced the division, but probably iced the wild card. And, I mean, we've literally been talking about it all year, but there are these teams, the Padres, the Mets, the Phillies, who are all sitting there really chasing it. And, I mean, I guess maybe the one thing they can console themselves with is that both the Arizona Diamondbacks and the San Francisco Giants are already starting to fall back to the pack. They, you know, I mean, who knows how much that slide is going to continue. Could be a Miami Marlins-esque slide. And, I mean, we spent that, well, I don't know about everyone. I spent the first half of the season saying, I can't believe in a team less than I believe in the Miami Marlins. You know, they have all these crazy pitching performances, but they have no one who can hit. Their center fielder gets injured. Jazz Chisholm gets injured. They got Dane Myers playing. He's a converted pitcher. Like, tough scene for them. So maybe a wild card is possible for them, but they would certainly prefer, I think. I mean, they would have loved to have gone 7-2 the last 3 weeks against the Brewers, because that pretty much would have cemented them into the playoffs, I think.
I think so as well. Right now, if you looked at the standings for the National League wild card, obviously there's three teams that get in. You have five teams separated by one game in the loss column. So Reds, Diamondbacks, Giants, Phillies, Marlins, all separated by one game in the loss. There's a long way to go. I'm not saying the Reds aren't making the playoffs, but when you look at that NL Central, they've really hurt themselves over these past 2.5 weeks, not being able to get any ground here. But I guess the silver lining is they're only a game and a half out, which is weird, right, Davis? They're only a game and a half out, and they lost all these games to the Brewers, so very strange. The other one in the we just can't beat this team department is the Rangers played well this year. They got a great lineup. It's been fun to watch them. They can't beat the Astros, no matter the situation. They have a huge problem here. Astros going for the sweep again against them tonight. Are the Rangers for? Will the Astros catch the Rangers? Is pretty much what I'll get to you in the AL West and be there at the top of the year.
I mean, I think you almost have to say yes, because what was happening for Texas at the beginning of the season was Martin Perez was pitching awesome. Andrew Heaney was pitching awesome. I mean, at one point, those guys were like 130, 140 ERA plus. Now they're back below league average. Andrew Heaney is struggling with his velocity. So some of the you know, people who are much smarter than I am out there are suggesting he is either injured already or closing in on an injury, and they might not be able to rely on him. They don't really have a backup plan behind him, because he was already sort of a backup plan. You know, the guys they were really counting on were DeGrom, Eovaldi, and John Gray. They needed those guys to get through all season. DeGrom, obviously, we're not going to see any of him. He, you know, I mean, not surprising, immediately injured. Heaney, you know, Dane Dunning, like, it just inspires no confidence. Now, the thing is the Rangers can really hit. I mean, they really can. I think pretty much everyone they have who hits for them on a daily basis, really other than Robbie Grossman, is like above average for their position. And they don't even play Robbie Grossman every single day. There's some Mitch Garver, some Brad Miller, some Ezekiel Duran. I mean, Ezekiel Duran plays like every single day at different spots for them. I think the Rangers are for real, but I bet they don't buy a pitcher at the deadline. I bet they just say, you know, it is what it is. We're paying DeGrom all this money. We're paying Seager and Semien all this money. Like, we'll get them next year, basically. I think they're going to kind of – maybe they'll add a couple bullpen guys, but doesn't seem like they're one of the teams primed to make a big move.
Yeah, they've got one more series left with the Astros after this. They play them early September in Arlington. So at least they get away from them for a while after this series. But, man, they have had all kinds of problems with them so far this year. Are you still believing that Cleveland can win the Central? They're now back to two back of Minnesota with their little mini spurt that they've been on against the Royals the last few days.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like whoever is in first place in the American League Central between the Twins and the Guardians is just whoever got to play the Royals most recently, because you pretty much pick up three free wins against them. My Kansas City Royals. Now, they're a game ahead of the Oakland Athletics. Good for them. Good for them to pull one game ahead of the Oakland Athletics, but they really are. They're awful. I mean, the Twins are, I think, a better team than the Cleveland Guardians. Now, they are, the Twins have a very weird lineup. They, like, really platoon their guys. A lot of their guys only see two plate appearances, and then they get yanked when, especially their right-handers, when they're up against a lefty, they just get, you know, defensive replaced or whatever. Their pitching, I mean, it's all guys. Like, you look at their rotation, and it's all guys who are just, like, extremely fine. They're, like, just, you know, Lopez, Ryan, Gray, Ober, Kenta Maeda, like, they don't have an ace, but they also don't have, you know, there is no Aaron Ashcraft on their pitching staff. Like, no one who goes out there who's going to get absolutely shelled. And that's good enough to win the American League Central. Whereas the Guardians, they have about two good hitters, you know, and their pitching is quite good. But, I mean, their hitting is really Jose Ramirez and Josh Naylor, and that's it. And everyone else in their lineup, it's like, honestly, pretty bad. It's the AL Central. Everyone in the AL Central should be embarrassed that this is what they're doing this season.
They absolutely should be, that's for sure. All right, let's get to your picks for tonight. We will start with the Cubs and the White Sox, where we have Marcus Stroman and Lance Lynn with his 28 homers allowed this year going at it in Chicago.
Well, Lance Lynn, a couple things. I mean, the first is, yeah, he's always struggled with the home runs. Cubs, not a big home run hitting team. You know, they actually don't have a ton of fly ballers. But I love to get on the side of Lance Lynn when everyone's off of him. And I also think, by the way, he's probably auditioning to be traded. So that is a little bit a part of it, too. But you just look at Lance Lynn, you're like, oh, this dude has a 6 ERA. He's got to be one of the worst pitchers in baseball. No, he just got absolutely shelled. Absolutely. I think he gave up 9 earned runs in one start and 8 earned runs in the next start at the beginning of the season. So that's going to do some real damage to your ERA. And the White Sox are also finally starting to hit. Their bullpen is awful, but they are, as a team, finally starting to hit a little bit.
The Orioles and the Phillies, the rubber match in Philadelphia coming up at top of the hour, 6 o'clock actually, east, is when they will start. What do you think? They've played a couple fun games the last few nights.
They have. So I was basically just waiting in this series for the Orioles to have the better pitcher, because every day I would come on and I'd pick the Phillies, and Scotty would be like, why are we picking the Phillies? The Orioles, best team in baseball. They're World Series favorites. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not betting on Dean Kramer. I'm not betting on Kyle Gibson. I just can't. I don't have the emotional resistance to get through that. So we got Kyle Bradish on the mound. I mean, I think this was just sort of a price-type play. I think these teams are basically about the same, so wanted to get the Orioles in a spot where the prices were a little bit closer.
And you want to get one of the young Orioles in the barn with the RBIs tonight as well.
Yeah, so I basically just went through and picked the guy with the platoon advantage who had the best price. And I just love betting on all these young dudes. Like, it's just a fun way to watch Orioles games, is have a ticket on someone who's like 22 years old.
I'm liking the RBI betting right now, Davis. I think it is a fun way to play. You get a couple of guys, look for some prices maybe that seem a little bit off, and try to attack those. Your final pick, unfortunately, will not be happening tonight, as they have been washed away in Detroit for the Angels and the Tigers. You did like the over 8.5. I'm assuming you'll probably like it when they play tomorrow afternoon for a doubleheader, though, Davis.
Yeah, well, you never see, the thing is you never want the over in the first game of the doubleheader, right? Because that's the hangover game, so you got to be very careful with that. Yeah, 100%.
Davis, great job. We'll see you back tomorrow. Davis Maddock, the lion's share, BetMGM. We're back after this on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Wednesday. Carver High and Joe Lisi in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you with us. All right, Joe, more NFL for you. Is there anything? We got kind of abruptly cut off earlier, and then I had Cam with the golf and Davis with the baseball. Was there anything else you wanted to say about Herbert and the quarterbacks before I move on from it? I think we both kind of are on the same page here, honestly. I think we both agree that some guys probably get paid a lot more than what they have actually accomplished so far in the league. I think we both can absolutely agree on that, right?
And let's agree that Jalen Hurts got his money because he led the Eagles to the Super Bowl and dominated the Kansas City Chiefs defense for four touchdowns, three on the ground and one through the air. It's not like in the biggest game possible, Jalen Hurts laid an egg and obviously had a mediocre performance. That wasn't the case. When we talk about Herbert, okay, yes, he got his team to the playoffs. They had a 30-point lead. He started fast but didn't close the bill and didn't close the door on a quarterback that potentially might outshine him in the coming years, and I'm talking about Trevor Lawrence. So that is the reason why some of these marginal or good quarterbacks shouldn't be getting elite money.
And look, it's tough because I think that there's some of us that want to grade – on regular season numbers. Some of us want to grade on just what the quarterback does in the postseason. Some want a little bit of mix of both. Like you said, there's been quarterback, some of these young quarterbacks have had tremendous playoff performances in the past 3 years. And maybe they didn't win the game because their defense let them down or a fluke play happened. Right. You mentioned Hurts. He was awesome in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. Awesome, Jalen Hurts was. Burrow against the Rams the year before. I know I like to kid you with Burrow. I don't think you could say Joe Burrow is the reason the Bengals lost that game against the Rams at SoFi in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Allen in Kansas City 2 years ago in the 13-second game. Probably one of the best games you'll ever see a quarterback play in a loss.
Right.
Josh Allen that day in Kansas City. But Herbert, you know, not quite there yet. I mean, I think everybody had to take the blame for what happened with the Chargers in Jacksonville last year. Everybody. Yes. That was on everyone's shoulders. When you blow a game like that, that's everyone's fault.
But think about this, too, and we'll talk to Cousins and even Daniel Jones type of money. Daniel Jones got the money because of how we performed as well against Minnesota on the road in that playoff game. If he throws for 132 yards, and let's just say it was the defense that carried them through to that victory against the Vikings, I'm not so sure he gets the $40 million from the Giants this year. It was how he played in that game with over 300 yards that they said, you know what, if we could capture this and he takes the next step, maybe we're getting in on the ground floor as opposed to Kirk Cousins that up until this point, I want to say, has regressed to a degree. He compiles stats in the regular season, but when it comes to the playoffs, he doesn't win a big game.
Understandable. It is, Joe. And Daniel Jones, 10th on that list, by the way. He's right behind Mahomes and Allen. He's number 10 with his $40 million.
It's incredible.
When does it end, though? That's what I want to know. When does eventually, I mean, is it just going to keep going up and up? We're at 52 and a half.
Infinity.
Joe's going to get 53. Mahomes is going to re-up for 55. Allen will re-up for 56 and a half. Like, when does it end?
I guess never. A quarterback, they get $1 billion, and then all of a sudden they're like, $3 billion. They could buy the Redskins. Washington Commanders. I slipped.
That's $1 in the jar for you, Joe. You owe $1 in the jar.
Because I'm thinking about it. Because at the end, but you know who's to blame though, Carver? Seriously, and again, it's the agents who try to get as much money. It's the NFL GMs and owners for allowing this to happen. And Kirk Cousins, I'm sorry, wasn't due the money back then when he left Washington.
He wasn't. You can look at that point as what maybe started it. But what's really kicked it along the last couple years, obviously the Watson one was, with all the guaranteed money for Watson, was really a kind of off-the-trend deal that the Browns gave him, which really upset things. And you could say Kyler Murray, too. The Kyler Murray deal.
Well, the Kyler Murray one is ridiculous right now.
Well,
if he doesn't play this year... That's now a complete waste of an investment on a quarterback that is not all bought in.
It takes one bad deal for then everybody else to go, well, I have to have more than that guy. Right? You get one bad deal. Like, if Mahomes was still the top guy, I think that ownership and agents and everyone can look around and go, all right, well, maybe we shouldn't be paid more than him. You know, he's the best. But when Watson jumps Mahomes and Kyler Murray jumps Mahomes, that only means other guys have to go, yeah, I can't get paid. I can't be paid less than Kyler Murray. Or
you know who the guy is going to be? You know who the guy is going to be that's going to be on the outside looking in? I'll say it right now, Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence might not get the money three years down the road.
You think it's
going to
eventually stop? Eventually, it's got to stop somewhere. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Guys are going to be getting $100 million a year to play quarterback?
I don't know. We'll see what happens with Mahomes. How many more guys are going to pass him on the list before he bangs on the door of the Hunts and says, hey, let's talk. Let's move on, Joe. We brought up Allen before. Everybody's showing up at camp. Allen and Diggs both talked up at Bill's camp earlier today. I'll probably have those clips tomorrow when Scotty's back. I watched them on the train coming in earlier. These guys are both playing exactly what we thought they were going to do. Everything's great. Everybody loves each other. Diggs, it was the first time, Joe, he had talked since the season ended. I mean, you didn't hear from him after the Bengal game or any time after until today. And I thought Diggs was very good. But I'm not sold until they go out there and start playing real games and I see the connection and I see all that on the field. They're not going to sell me, Joe, the next 5 weeks walking around camp that everything's fine until I see it in a real game and in a real situation. That's just where I'm at right now.
I'd rather see them after a loss, Carver. That would be the true telltale sign that everything's good. I mean, you know, we talk about it early preseason. How is it when they lose and let's say Stephon Diggs has a marginal game, let's say 3 receptions, 34 yards, and no touchdowns, and let's just say they do lose by 10 points. You know, how is he going to respond in that type of situation, or is he going to be impulsive and maybe call out his quarterback, which could ignite this whole situation?
Bills to make the playoffs minus 250. Their number's 10.5. Allen for MVP plus 750. Win the AFC 425, and they are 8-1 to win the whole thing. Mm. So you know where I'm at, Joe.
Are you buying? I can't do it now. I can't.
They're
going to
go over 10.5. They're going to go over 10.5.
10.5 should be easy.
They're going to go
10.5 should be fairly easy. What do you think they go in the division is the bigger question. Are they going 4-2, or are they going potentially 5-1 or even 6-0? They're 2 against New England easy. I think that's the one team
they own. They're not going to go. They're not going to go 6-0 in the division. I think 4-2 is probably the most logical spot there. I think 4-2 is where it is. It could be 5-1, but I don't think any less than 4-2. Obviously, we're talking here, you know, all things status quo. Guys don't get
injuries,
you know, who gets
nothing.
Injured, who doesn't. This is just on the surface stuff. I think 4-2. Let's go to the Niners next, Joe. I've got a couple for you from them. We'll start with general manager John Lynch as Brock Purdy. He's ready, baby. QB1 in San Francisco. No restrictions. No pup list. Let's go. Here's Lynch.
Now Brock's cleared and ready to go. He's been cleared. He's gonna be without restrictions. Now, having said that, we're sticking and we're adhering to a plan that's been put in place for some time, and. He got after it the last couple days. We upped his pitch count, so it was kind of the peak of the buildup, and so he'll take off day one. But you know, we believe in that plan, so he's cleared without restriction. There will be some time off, you know, due to pitch count and all that. Sticking to the plan, but the great news is Brock has worked his tail off and he's ready to go.
Well, Joe, listen to what he just said. He started by saying, "There's no restrictions. He's ready to go." And as he kept talking, eventually he started saying, well, you know, he'll be on a little bit of a pitch count and it'll be some days off. And then Shanahan, the clip goes a little longer, and Shanahan goes, yeah, well, like every third or fourth day, you know, he's not going to take all the reps and Trey will take other. But so I guess he's not no restrictions if he's on a pitch count. Am I wrong here, Joe?
Well, they have to protect Brock Purdy if he's their guy. I mean, if he's 90% healthy, you can't roll him out there. I mean, that's an injury that can linger throughout the season. Look at the situation with Stafford. I will say this, that clip is telling. That tells me that obviously Purdy was Lynch's guy, meaning that's the guy he wants to go to war with. And at the end of the day, Shanahan obviously maybe made the decision to move up and grab Trey Lance, which, you know what? All the pressure's on Brock Purdy. We talked about it at Iowa State. When they went 9-3, they were under the radar. When they were picked to win the Big 12, they limped to a 7-6 season. So let's see what happens when the bullseye's on his back this year.
Here's Shanahan talking about Deebo Samuel. So Deebo was very critical of himself in the offseason, Joe. That he's got to be better, got to work, blah, 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 blah. Here's Shanahan talking about how much Deebo has been talking to him this offseason.
I mean, I don't think Deebo had to be that harsh on himself to you guys, but it was cool to watch. Debo's one of the best players in this league, and anytime he doesn't play like one of the best players in this league, everyone's going to be disappointed, and including himself. And I think that was the case. It's a fine line to say that he was awful just because he wasn't one of the best players in the league. I think he was disappointed. I think he can get back to playing a little bit more like he did in 21. I think he took one small step back, but that doesn't mean he can take two steps forward. And where Deebo was at, I think the last time you guys saw him, showed that his mind was right to get back to that spot. And that's what's been real cool with him in these 40 days away. Just seeing him yesterday for the first time. Never had a grown man send me so many pictures with his shirt off, but it looks good. And I can tell he's put the work in. So I know you guys heard him that day. That's the last time I really heard him. But I see better than I hear. And Debo's in a really good spot, and I'm really excited for Debo.
Really good, really good spot. He's really excited. Cool. Joe, let's call it like it is. Again, read the clip. What did he just say? They thought he was out of shape last year. They didn't think that he was in shape. That's what they're telling you right there.
Well, what about the fact that he ran him up the middle when they had a complimentary running back in Christian McCaffrey and guys in the backfield? I mean, come on, Debo Samuel's not expected to run in the A and B gaps up the middle. I mean, he's about 200 pounds, soaking wet, and we're going to run him 50 times a game, and Shanahan wants to know why he's breaking down. Can we stop already? He's an edge guy. You put him on the edge on fly sweeps. You don't expect Deebo Samuel to be in the Wildcat carrying your offense back in the day. I mean, what are we doing here? It's absolutely ridiculous. He didn't do it in South Carolina.
What he should have said to Kyle.
He's going to do it in San Francisco.
Should have said I bulked up because you had me running up the middle. He should have said I put some weight on because you were having me run up the middle. I can't run up the middle when I'm this light. Come on now. Pharrell Coast to Coast, Carver High and Joe Frascati. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Wednesday. Carver High and Joe Lisi in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. It is time for this day in Carver High history. 1978, Reds catcher Johnny Bench playing the outfield for the day goes 4-for-5 with 7 RBIs and hits 3 consecutive homers off Steve Carlton. 1978. One of those was actually his 300th career home run. 84, Commissioner Bowie Kuhn announces that Vida Blue is suspended for the rest of 84 due to a cocaine conviction. No good. 84, Pete Rose ties Ty Cobb with his 3,502nd single. 88, Mike Schmidt sets an NL record when he appears in his 2,155th game at third base. The game ended at 2:13 in the morning. What? 91, Expos pitcher Mark Gardner no hits the Dodgers for 9 innings, but then loses the no-hitter and loses the game in the 10th. Look at this.
I think it's tremendous the way Mark Gardner has been able to maintain his degree of concentration with the Expos not having scored. He has not caved in to frustration. Tough chance. That'll be the first Dodger hit of the game. 9 innings of no-hit ball, and Lenny Harris legs out an infield hit.
How about that? 1992, Nolan Ryan strikes out the 100th batter of the season for the 23rd consecutive season. 2020, Juventus wins its 9th straight Serie A title 2-0 with a goal from Cristiano Ronaldo. All right, Joe, when we come back, we have another hour to go. I got a lot more football for you, and I have to get to college. I'm probably have to squeeze some of the NFL out because there are some college clips that I have to play for you today. I mean, I got them specifically for you. I got stuff from the ACC. I got stuff from the American. I got a lot. Trent Dilfer, the new UAB coach, Joe, making his presence felt at American Conference Media Day. Unbelievable. Pharrell Coast to Coast, Hour 3 next after this.